or in Matthew chapter number 11. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I'm glad you are, and I'm excited to get into the last three verses of this chapter, which we've been studying now for a few weeks. In Matthew chapter 11, we have seen four different responses that people had to the ministry and the person of Jesus Christ. We've already seen those four responses in the last couple weeks, and those responses included doubt, disdain, disregard, and dependence. And every one of us are responding to Jesus in one of those ways. It's interesting to me, for Jesus, as he stood in the midst of all these people and this multitude that surrounded him with these conflicting ideas. Some were doubters, some were haters, and some could care less about who he really was. They were just there for the show, and others of them truly believed in him. And as Jesus stood in the multitude of people with all of these different people among them, he made one final grand invitation to all of them. And this was the invitation Jesus gave in Matthew 11 and verse number 28 through 30, where the Bible says, Jesus speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Can we read those words out loud together? A familiar passage. Let's say it together. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever condition you find yourself in today, Jesus invites you to come to him to find a place of true rest. That's his invitation to every one of us today. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We come full of a rich truth that you have given us. Perhaps for many of us, a familiar truth. And though I pray it is a familiar truth, I pray that its familiarity would not tune our ears out from listening to the great truth that lies for us here in the Scriptures. And I pray that you would bring your word, which is alive and powerful, to life in our souls today. And I pray that your Spirit would minister to our spirits. And I pray that each one of us will come to you today, Jesus, to find rest for our weary souls. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. I got a simple question for all of you today. How many of you are tired today? Well, this is the sermon you've been waiting for, I'm telling you. All right? Because this is exactly the thing that Jesus is addressing for us here in the Scripture. You know, the truth is we live in a very worn out society. As we think about our culture and how driven our culture is, our culture compels us to rise up early to work and to stay up late to play. And all of these things are a part of how our culture drives us. Modern technology, starting with not so modern technology today, but starting with electricity. Electricity and modern technology changed the whole scope of the world. There was a time in history when the sun went down, so did everybody else. Everything stopped. But now with modern technology, we're able to stay up late, to wake up earlier, to do things that we could not do before. And the fact is, so many of us think that there are so many things to be done and there's just not enough time to do all the things that we need to do. We're a very driven society. And yet beneath the fatigue of the body lies a deeper fatigue of the soul. We think the problem is that we're physically tired. But the deeper problem is that we're spiritually tired, spiritually exhausted. And so today, so many people suffer from what I like to call a tiredness of the soul. People are soul tired. Why? Because they're so busy doing so many things, they don't even know why anymore. Their relationships are suffering. Their health is failing. Their finances are crumbling. And their spiritual walk, for many, is completely non-existent. I'll throw this in there as well. Our children are soul tired. You know why? Because mom and dad's so busy. I haven't got time for them. Our children are suffering from abuse of neglect. They're suffering from the abuse of homes not being operated the way that God intended for them to. Our children are soul tired. You say, how do you know that? Never in recorded history has there ever been a time when young people struggle with suicide and substance abuse at even young ages like they do today. I don't need to park on this too long. You know as well as I do that we live in a very soul-tired society. But the more important question is, are you soul-tired? Are you experiencing the weariness of the soul that I'm describing to you today? Now, the truth is, some of you have been longing for the day when the preacher would preach about sleeping, because it gives you a good excuse for doing it, okay? Now, if you need to sleep, you go right on ahead, okay? We'll just make fun of you later. But all joking aside, some of you are experiencing the kind of tiredness that a couple good nights' sleep won't solve. It's much deeper than that. It's much more painful than that. It seems like no matter what you do, you cannot get relief. You cannot get rest. And to any such weary soul, Jesus' invitation today is for you to come to Him to find rest. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. Well, exactly how does that happen? Exactly how can you find this rest of the soul? Well, in this passage, there are three ways Jesus describes for us that you can find rest for your weary soul. The first one I want you to note down is you can find rest in the salvation that Jesus offers. Find rest in the salvation of Jesus. You see, Jesus invites you to receive the rest that only He can offer to you. Only He can give to you. Look at verse 28 with me in your Bibles. Let's read it out loud together again. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We see first the petition that is given here. The petition is, "Come unto me." Jesus is speaking, and He says to you and I, "Come unto me." To the weary soul, Jesus makes this plea for you to come to Him to find the rest that you so need. The invitation word, "come," it's a word that's resounded all throughout the Scriptures. And the word "come" here is simply in the imperative mood in the Greek. It has no tense. It has no voice. It's in the imperative mood. It's simply a command. What Jesus is saying here is, "Come here, come now." That's what He's pleading. That's why we know this is a plea that Jesus is making. He wants you to come wherever you are, whoever you are, whenever you will. He wants you to come to Him. I think it's interesting, in the previous verse, we looked at this last week, Jesus made something clear to us that the only way to come to know God is through first coming to know Him. And He's the one that makes God known to anyone who will come to Him. In verse 27, we saw this last week. Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." Jesus is the revealer of God. As we said last week, He is the exegesis of God. He's the one that makes God known to man. And the fact is, immediately after saying, "You can only know God through me," Jesus said, "Come to me." He invites us to come to Him. The fact is, Jesus' invitation is an invitation that He wants to send out to anyone who will receive it from Him.
In John chapter 12, in verse number 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." You understand, Jesus' invitation to come was best demonstrated when he hung on a cross and he stretched out his arms out wide. And he said, "Anyone come." Jesus has done everything that's necessary for you to be able to come. And so Jesus makes this invitation, and I want you to look at verse 28 again. He says, "Come unto me." What are the next two words?
All ye.
All of you. The petition is given to all. The invitation he sends out to all. And the record of Scripture is clear that Jesus' invitation goes out to all men. In 1 Timothy 2:4, Jesus said that he wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so the point is, this plea Jesus gives is for anyone who is willing to receive it. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you're in here today, Jesus is making this invitation to you. Because it goes out to all people. But listen to me on this. Though Jesus invites all people to come, this decision is a choice that every person must make for themselves. See, the petition word there in verse 28 is come. But the word come is in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. He's telling us to do something. Come to me. It's a command that can be obeyed or disobeyed. The point I'm trying to make to you today is you will choose today whether or not you will respond to Christ's invitation to you. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You will not leave here today being able to say, "Nobody cares about me." Jesus is inviting you. Jesus wants to help you in the situation that you find yourself in. And so he makes a petition, but we see that petition is followed up with a problem. We see the petition, but then we see the problem. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That's what he says in the next part of the verse. All people are invited to come to Jesus because all people have a common problem. And listen to me on this. Our common problem is that we are sinners, burdened down with sin, who cannot save ourselves. That is our common problem. And to people who are burdened down with the weight of sin, Jesus makes this invitation to come to solve their problem. You see, Jesus invites those who are overworked to come to him. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor." That word labor is a word that speaks of working to the point of exhaustion. And every person who finds himself trying so hard to make it on your own, you find yourself working so hard to be good enough for God, to be good enough for somebody else, to be good enough to go to heaven. You're just worn out from trying and trying and trying. Jesus says, "Come to me. I've already done it. I've already done everything that's necessary to make you accepted before God." Those who are overworked, Jesus invites to come, but he also invites those who are overloaded to come. He says, "All of you who labor and are what? Heavy laden." The idea of the heavy laden is that you are just overburdened, overloaded. Those of you who carry a heavy burden, maybe you carry a heavy burden of sin. There's something in your past you've never been able to let it go. It's defined your whole life. You're overburdened with your load of sin and you don't know how to put it down. You don't know how to let it go. Jesus says, "Come to me. I'll forgive you. I'll heal you. I'll help you." Those of you that are overloaded with a burden of some struggle. Maybe you're saved and you know you're forgiven of your sin. But boy, you've got a burden in your life right now. You don't know what to do with it. Jesus says, "Come. Let me take it. Let me carry it for you." So he addresses this great problem that all of us have. And so if you want rest, Jesus invites you to stop trying to do it all by yourself and to carry it all by yourself and instead to start trusting him to do it for you, trusting him to bear it for you. You do not have to carry it on your own anymore. To put it another way, Jesus wants you to stop relying on what you can do and start relying on what He can do for you. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 10 tells us this truth. It says, "For he that entered into Christ's rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his." God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did He do? He rested. And when we come to the seventh day, spiritually speaking, is when we come to the end of our own labor and we realize that we can only find a true place of rest in giving it all to the Lord. So Jesus gives us this petition to come to Him for salvation. He presents the problem for why we need salvation, but then we see a third truth, that is the promise that Jesus gives. It's at the end of verse 28. Read the last phrase of verse 28 with me, if you will. It says, "And I will give you rest." Now, there's the problem. There's the promise that Jesus gives to us. If you will recognize your problem and respond to Jesus' petition to come, He makes you a promise to give you rest. Now, the word rest, it's a powerful word. Rest carries the idea of allowing someone else to cease from their efforts in order to allow them to recover their strength. The literal word picture that goes along with the word rest in the Greek is that of laying down a burden that you've been carrying. All right? We just got out of elk season. Have you ever had to pack out an elk before? All right? I've done two this year. All right? First one was worse than the second. But not that I got to. I helped somebody else carry one out. Okay? Just to be clear about this. But anyways, I remember carrying that load down that mountain. And when we got to the bottom, oh man, I saw the truck. And if I had enough energy, I would have started dancing when I did, but I didn't. And boy, put that load down. That's the picture of what Jesus is, the picture Jesus is using when He talks about rest. A New York author and counselor told the story in one of his books of how he would often lead those that he counseled down Fifth Avenue in New York City. And there on Fifth Avenue in New York, there's the statue of Atlas holding a globe up in his hand. You can see all of his strength expended and all of his muscles showing while trying to hold up this globe. And he'd tell the people he was counseling after he showed them the statue, he said, "That's one way to live." Then he'd cross the street. And across the street is St. Patrick's Cathedral. And he'd take him inside St. Patrick's Cathedral. And inside that cathedral, there was a little statue of the boy Jesus holding a globe in his hand. And he said, he would tell the people, "That's the other way to live." See, the point is, you can try to carry it all yourself. You can try to do it all yourself. Or you can come to Jesus, who's got the whole world in His hand, and let Him carry it. I don't know about you, but I know what I'd rather do. See, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that you can cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Why don't you come to Jesus and let Him carry your burden today? You see, the way to find true rest for your soul begins with coming to Jesus. And when you enter into a relationship with Jesus by faith, He gives the rest that you need for your weary soul. I want you to listen to me on this. You cannot work or earn or deserve the rest that Jesus is talking about. You can only receive it from Him by faith. You see, it's a gift of grace. Jesus said at the end of verse number 28, "I will give you rest." You can't get it any other way except in coming in faith to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, will you give me rest? Will you take my load of sin? Will you take this struggle? Will you take this burden? I can't bear it anymore." And He gives you grace. He gives you that rest that He speaks about here in the Scriptures. And so perhaps the reason you have found no rest for your weary soul today is because you just haven't even taken the first step. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You who are lost in your sin, carrying the weight of your sin, come to Jesus. Let Him take your sin. Let Him forgive you. And let Him give you the rest that only He can bring to your soul. You who are saved but burdened, come to Jesus. Come to Him again and lay your burden down at His feet and leave it there. let him carry it. See, Jesus tells us how we can find rest for our weary souls. And the first way we can find it is in the salvation that Jesus offers. The second way I want you to note down is that you can find rest in submission to Jesus. Find rest in submission to Jesus. Now moving on into verse number 29, we find that Jesus here invites you with another invitation. He invites you to find a place of rest in simple submission to Him. Look at verse 29. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And read the last phrase with me. "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." You shall find rest unto your souls. There are two ways Jesus tells us here we can find rest by submitting to Him. The first one is this. You can find rest by submitting to the management of Christ. Submit to the management of Christ. There at the beginning of verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you. Jesus first invites His disciples to take something, to bear up something. It's interesting, the picture. First He tells us to lay the burden down, and then He tells us, now take this one instead. Take up, to bear up upon yourself His yoke. What in the world is a yoke? Well, I'll tell you this, it's not the middle of the egg, okay? But a yoke was a tool, and still is in some places, a tool used to fasten cattle together in order to pull the plow. I actually saw several of these being used when we were in Africa. Not the double yoke, but a single one. But they would use these to fasten two cattle together in order to pull a plow behind them. And in Jesus' day, this instrument was often referred to as a metaphor for submission. In fact, to take a yoke in Jesus' day meant that, in some cases, that you were becoming a disciple of someone else. You were coming under their system. You were coming under the way that they taught you that you were supposed to live. That's what it meant to take on the yoke from a teacher. And that's what Jesus was picturing when he referred to taking on this yoke. And so Jesus invites us to submit to His way, to bear the burden of being His follower, to join together with Him in His work, in His purpose for living your life. And boy, it seems like a contradiction of terms to us to connect work with rest, to connect putting on a burden to being relieved of a burden. It's a paradoxical idea here that Jesus is presenting to us. We tend to think that rest is found in the freedom from responsibility. But if you've ever worked, and you've lived long enough, you understand something. My wife will testify to this. When I don't have anything to do, I'm as restless as they come. All right? My dad calls it piddling. All right? If I don't have anything to do, I'm going to find something to do. I'm going to go piddle with something. All right? But people who have no responsibility do not experience true rest. It is those who have nothing to do that are the most restless of all. But true rest is not found in doing your own thing. But true rest is found in doing God's will for your life. You see, when you come under the yoke of Christ, when you yoke up with the Lord, when you receive His system of living upon your life, He sets you free to live your life the way God created you to. So long as you're calling the shots in your own life, it's going to be an exercise in futility and disappointment, discouragement, and defeat. But when you get under the system, when you get under the yoke that the Lord Jesus has for your life, therein you can find true purpose, and therein you can find true rest. Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I'm not a perfect person. This is my testimony. There have been many days I haven't walked in the will of God. I know this. But there's only one season of my life when I didn't walk in the will of God. I quit Bible college And I sat out for 6 months. During those 6 months, I considered quitting ministry. During those 6 months, I considered doing my own thing. And those 6 months were the most miserable months that I have ever lived in my entire life. Why is that? I didn't have as much responsibility. I didn't have as much things going on, but those things didn't matter. I wasn't where God wanted me to be. I wasn't living under the yoke that Jesus had given me to carry. And I was not at peace. I was not at rest. So the most restless times of my life have been those times when I've lived outside of God's created purpose for my life. My point is, if you want to find rest for your soul, you have got to start letting God call the shots in your life. You have got to submit yourself to the life that God is calling you to live. In other words, let God govern your life. Come under the teaching. Come under the leadership that He has for you. And therein you will find a place of true rest and true satisfaction. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus put it this way. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So many of you, you've been thinking of the Christian life as being yoked up with Jesus and trying to pull Him your way. That's not how it works. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to follow His lead. You're going to yoke up with Him and go the way that He wants you to go. It's not you trying to pull God your way. It's you getting on board with the way that He wants you to go, the way that He wants you to live. And so Jesus says you can find rest and submission to Him, and you need to submit to the management of Christ. But the second truth I see here is that you need to submit to the mentorship of Christ. Jesus said in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." And then what does He say? Learn of me. Let's say that together. Learn of me. Or learn from me, as some might say it. One of the best aspects of being in the yoke is that you are there with Jesus. When I was a kid, I loved to go outside and work with my dad. I'll be honest, I could have cared less about the work. Didn't always enjoy the work. But if Dad was working, I was out there with Him. Why? Because I got to be with Dad. It wasn't the work. It was that I got to do it with Him. By the way, I don't think I was ever very much help anyways. But I got to be with Him. One of the greatest privileges we have about getting yoked up with Jesus is that we get to be there with Jesus. And there in the yoke with Jesus, you get to learn who He really is. Listen, when you start living by faith, and when you start walking with God, and when you start doing what God has called you to do, you learn by experience. God comes through on His word. God is always there for you. God is a refuge for you. God is faithful to you. God loves you. You learn these things not from reading them in a Bible or hearing someone else talk about them, but you learn them by your own experience as you live your life the way that Jesus has called you to. So Jesus says, "Learn of me." That word "learn" in the Greek is closely related to the Greek word for disciple. They go hand in hand. It's the verb form of the word disciple. And so the word "learn" means to learn of Christ. It means to closely follow His leadership. It means to pattern your life after everything He does. You're in the yoke with Jesus. So He goes left. Guess what you do? You go left. Listen, where He goes, you go. What He's doing, you're doing. And as you watch Him, you learn from Him. You're learning every step you take in following Jesus. You're learning more and more. You aren't trying to get Jesus to go your way. You're following His lead. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." In order to be a true disciple of Jesus, Jesus says, you have to come after me. That's what it means to be a disciple. He is the one who's leading. He is the one that you're learning from. You're patterning your life after Him, not after someone else, and especially not yourself. You can't claim to be a follower of Jesus if you aren't willing to follow Him. So I wonder, friend, is there any area of your life where you're not following Him? H.B. Charles, he put it this way. He said, a closed mind is the end of discipleship. You have an area in your life God's been trying to speak to your heart about. And you've been saying, Lord, I'm not going that way. You can have anything else. I'm not listening to you in this area. A closed mind is the end of discipleship. And the moment you close off your mind to the Lord and are unwilling to follow Him in a direction He is trying to lead you, is the moment you will become restless and begin to become weary in your soul once again. But all the moment you give in, the moment you finally say, Lord Jesus, I'll submit to You, it brings a rest into your life unlike anything else that you've ever experienced. It's an incredible thing. And it all comes by simply submitting, by simply yielding to the Lord. And so if you want to find rest for your soul, you need to let Jesus lead your life. You need to let Jesus govern your life. That's how you can find rest for your weary soul. And so find rest in the salvation of Jesus. Find rest in submission to Jesus. And then the third way you can find rest is that you can find rest in step with Jesus. Find rest in step with Jesus. You see, when you come to Jesus and let Him guide your life, there, as you're yielding to Him, there, as you're in step with Jesus, you will find it to be a place of perfect rest. Look at the end of verse 29. After Jesus tells us to come, take His yoke on and learn from Him, at the end of verse 29, He says, there you shall find rest unto your souls. That word find, I love it, shall find. When you make this decision to come to Jesus and submit to Jesus, you're going to find something out. And the word find is a Greek word that literally means to find something out by experience. Not like you're finding something that's laying there, but as you come to Jesus and as you submit every area of your life to Jesus, you're going to find something out as you do those things. You're going to find the rest that Jesus promises He'll give to every person who comes to Him. When you walk in step with Jesus, you will come to learn by experience how Christ sets you free from the inner weariness of your own soul effort. You will never find rest in doing for Jesus. But you can only ever find rest in depending on Jesus. Are you listening to me? Too many of us, we wake up every day because we got to do things. And you may want to do them for God. The problem is you're doing them. And so long as you try to do it all, you won't live a life of rest with the Lord. When you wake up every day and you say, God, I can't do this today. I can't do this on my own. And you instead say, I know this is what You've called me to do, but I'm not going to try to do it by myself. Lord, I cast myself on You. Will You help me be the husband I'm supposed to be today? Will You help me be the father I'm supposed to be today? Will You help me be the employee or the employer that I'm supposed to be today? Because if I do it, I'm going to wring somebody's neck. You know what I mean? You start living in dependence on the Lord instead of trying to do everything for God. That's where you find rest. See, we still got to live the life God's called us to live, but the way we find rest is in dependence upon the Lord. And so Jesus invites you to live every day of your life in dependence upon Him. You know, the longer you walk with Jesus, the longer you walk in step with Jesus, the more reasons you'll find that you can trust Him. And find walking with Him to be a place of rest, a place of refuge for you. Three ways Jesus tells us you'll learn you can trust Him. The first one is this: you'll learn that you can trust His heart. You can trust His heart. Look at the middle of verse 29, Jesus describing His heart. He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." The first reason Jesus says you'll find by experience you can trust him is because of his heart. This is one of the only times in Scripture that God describes his heart to us. The first way he says we can understand his heart is that he has a meek heart. What is meekness? Well, meekness is true power that's under control for the benefit of other people. God has all the power in the world, and he could use his power to crush us into submission. But that's not how he uses his power. He's meek. He's gentle in how he handles people. I think of the woman at the well in John chapter 8. Or not the woman at the well, but the woman who was caught in adultery in John chapter 8. The whole multitude dragged this woman in front of Jesus and said she was caught in adultery and she should be stoned by the law. Jesus ignored the multitude. Just wrote in the sand. And then he looked up and he said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." And one by one, all of them began to leave. And then that poor woman, no doubt her head down, ashamed, thought she was alone. Jesus approached her after everyone else had walked out. And he said, "Where are those that have accused you?" She looked up and she realized they're not here. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more." That's meekness. Did Jesus have the power, authority to condemn her? Absolutely. But instead, he chose to reconcile her. He chose to use his power to save her soul, to save her life. That's meekness. By the way, we ought to be thankful God's meek to people like you and me. Because if we got what we deserved, it wouldn't be pretty. He's meek. Then he says, "My heart is also lowly." The word lowly essentially means humble. And, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich." That's the humility of Christ. Though he was the most exalted person and is the most exalted person in the universe, he abased himself lower than anyone ever has because he loves you. That's his heart. There's no extent he's not willing to go through apart from sin in order to reach someone like you and like me. You see, Jesus isn't a snob. Okay? He'll minister to anybody. He was accused of being the friend of publicans and sinners. You might think, well, Jesus doesn't want anything to do with somebody like me. If you knew who I was, I don't think he wants me. I'll tell you, he does. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, he wants you. Because he's meek and lowly in heart. Boy, we ought to be thankful this is the kind of heart that Jesus has towards people like you and me. Because no matter what comes in your life, you can always know Jesus cares about you. A story is told about a hymn writer named Charles Weigel. He was an evangelist in the same time period when Billy Sunday was an evangelist. Charles Weigel had been in evangelism for many years, but when he was 61 years old, he came home from an evangelistic crusade to find a note written by his wife, essentially said, "I'm tired of this life. I want to do what I want to do. I'm leaving you." And she left. She divorced him. Charles Weigel thought it was all over. He thought, "I can't do anything else for God." And as he began to cope with all those things that were happening, he moved to Tennessee, to the Highland Park Baptist Church, Tennessee Temple. And he set up the things that he was going through. And while he was there, God began to rekindle hope in his heart. He felt deserted. He felt alone in this world. But while he was there, he wrote the words to the hymn, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Perhaps you've heard it before. "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I've found in him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you
how he came into my life to save me. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Charles Weigel found out that it felt like nobody else cared. He could trust Jesus' heart. He cares. He cares. 1 Peter 5:7 says that you can cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. As you walk in step with Jesus, it won't always be easy, but you'll be at rest because you can trust his heart. The second thing Jesus says that you can trust him about is that you can trust his handling. I must hasten with these. In verse number 30, he says, "For my yoke is what? Easy. My yoke is easy." The second reason Jesus gives you for why you can trust him is because of how he handles the things of this life. Now the yoke, the idea of what Jesus is saying here when he says the yoke is easy, he's indicating to us that his hand especially makes the yoke or the calling that you bear for him. All right? The implication of the word easy, the meaning of it is that it fits well. All right? In other words, Jesus doesn't offer a one-size-fits-all calling for your life. No, he handmade you, and he handmade the purpose that he has for your life. He handmakes the struggles. He handmakes the trials. He handmakes the mountaintops and the valleys and everything that you're going to go through, and he fits it together to where it's just right for you. And he says, "My yoke is especially made for you to carry, for you to bear." And he says, "My yoke is not something that's going to be uncomfortable. My yoke is not going to be something that rubs you raw. My yoke is not going to be something that is not feasible for you to carry. But whatever God calls you to do, he will enable you to do it as well." He says, "My yoke is easy." Listen, if you've been called to be a husband or a wife, "My yoke is easy," Jesus said. If you've been called to be a parent, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." If you've been called to be a minister, if you've been called to work in a particular profession, or you fill in the blank, Jesus says, "My yoke was especially made for you." Some of you are really going through difficulty with health or with other types of relational struggles. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy." He's given it to you. He's entrusted it to you, and he will help you bear it. You can trust him with how he handles the things that you go through in life. Spurgeon said, "God is too good to be unkind, and he is too wise to be mistaken. And when you cannot trace his hand, you must trust his heart." You may not understand the things you're going through today, but you know, as you're trusting the Lord, you can be at rest no matter what's coming down the road because you can trust his heart and you can trust his handling, his sovereign rule in your life. And the final reason Jesus gives us you can trust him is that you can trust his help. You can trust his help. Jesus says in verse 30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thank God for that. My burden is light. Walking in step with Jesus, it does not mean that there will not be burdens. I want you to listen to me, because the prosperity preachers of our day would have you believe just the opposite. Follow Jesus and it'll all be good for you. And you'll have health, wealth, and prosperity and all the things that you could need. And if you just believe in Jesus more, then you can be healed and you can have all the things you want. That is not what Jesus said. In fact, to the contrary, Jesus says you'll have burdens. And sometimes we bear burdens in life because we're Christians that we would not bear if we weren't. Jesus does not shy away from saying there will be burdens, and yet the burdens Jesus asks his followers to bear by comparison to the lost, what does he call them? He says they're light. His burdens are light. To be honest with you, I don't know how people who don't have Christ in their life
bear the burdens that they have to go through in life. They experience the loss of a loved one. When they experience tragedies or difficulties of any kind, I don't get it. How they can handle the stuff of life without Christ. But what I do know is that no matter what has come into my life, no matter how much struggle or heartache or despair has come into my life, I have always been able to carry on, not because I have a lot of strength, but because I have Jesus. And His burden, when He's there to help me bear it, is light. God gave us a principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He said, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God will not give you a burden that He will not give you the ability by His power to be able to bear. You say, "Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the pressure I'm under. You don't understand the pain that I'm in." And you're right, I don't understand. But He does. And His burden for you, if you'll give it to Him, you'll find it to be light. You know why it's light? Think about being in the yoke with Jesus. The reason why it's light is because when you get in the yoke with Jesus, you might act like you're working, but He's really carrying all the weight. Like me and my dad, when I go outside and I was a boy and work with Dad, I probably was more of a hindrance to Him than a help. But boy, I felt like we were getting things done. He's doing all the work. The reason why His burden is light is because He carries it, and sometimes He carries you. It's an old poem I'd like to end with today. It's an abbreviated version. Perhaps you've heard it before, "Footprints in the Sand." "One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and scenes from my life flashed across the sky. And in each I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, and other times there were only one. And during the low periods of my life, I could see only one set of footprints. And so I said, 'You promised me, Lord, that You would walk with me always. Why, when I needed You most, have You not been there for me?' And the Lord replied, 'The times when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, are the times when I carried you.'" You know, as you walk through your life, the low seasons, the high seasons, you'll learn to come to Jesus, take His yoke on. You'll find that He carries your burdens and He carries you through all the seasons that you'll go through in life. So I ask you again, are you soul tired today? You have a weariness in your soul that you don't know what to do about it? Jesus says, "Come find rest in my salvation. Take your burden of sin, your burden of struggle, and come bring it to me." Jesus says, "Come find rest in submission to me. Let me lead your life. Let me govern your life. Let me take the burden of making those decisions and doing those hard things. You just follow me and do what I'm calling you to do." And then Jesus says, "Come find rest in step with me." Every single day, walking in step of simple dependence on Jesus, and you learn by experience that you can trust Him. And it's a place of true rest for you to live your life. Would you like to have that rest today? Jesus, His final invitation is come. Come get it from me. And I hope that you'll do that today.